to the Six Out Culture Podcast. Today I'm joined by Danny and Rinche. What's going on, boys? You good?
Hey, guys. Always doing good.
Well, Rinche's back for his monthly episode. This week he's been busy, but he's finally back, and it's good to have him back. We can hear him talk about Vlahovic, who he hasn't been able to speak on too much since he arrived at the club, so we'll have a chance now to hear Rinche's thoughts on him and how he performed against Empoli. And obviously, Danny is on top of the world right now after a huge win against Lazio. I also enjoyed that one because, as you all know, I'm a Roma fan, and it's always good to see Lazio miserable, especially at the last minute. So, yeah, we all had a great weekend. Tammy Abraham did his thing at the end of the game there. Very entertaining match for neutral, I guess you could say, for Roma Spezia. We had a lot of good matches, a lot of late winners too. Sassuolo, Fiorentina, Napoli, Roma, so many late winners this weekend. So, no shortage of action in the city, I will say that. But to start off, two teams that have been really, really struggling and are, yeah, basically on the forefront of the race for the Scudetto this year, Milan and Inter, who also played today, by the way, in the Coppa Italia later on today. So if you guys are somehow listening to it before the game, go enjoy that match. I'm sure it's going to be a really good one. You can never miss the derby of Milano. So it's going to be a fun one. Inter drew to Genoa, Milan drew to Udinese. Two very disappointing results. Obviously, Milan coming off that draw to Salernitana, who, if I'm not mistaken, they are currently sitting bottom of the table. If someone can fact check me, I'm pretty sure they're bottom of the table right now. So,
20th.
Yeah, that was a bad draw week before. And then, obviously, Inter, you know, they lost to Sassuolo. They drew Napoli. It's not really been good for Inter. They also lost to Milan. So they are in a big rut right now. They're going to have to win their game in hand. The schedule is not too difficult, but at the same time, you don't want to drop all these points and just bank on beating these other teams. Because really, this year, there is no easy team to beat instead. Yeah. Like I just said, we saw Salernitana draw Milan. Literally, at the time, Milan was at the top of the table, and Salernitana was last, dead last. And they drew, so anything can happen. And, yeah, so what do you guys think is really wrong with Genoa? No, sorry, not Genoa. Inter and Milan. Dan, you want to start?
Yeah, for me, I just think for Inter, it's the lack of goal scoring. I believe in the last three out of four games, they failed to score. And the last time, I do believe they scored was against Napoli. And even that game, they didn't even play too well. Felt like Napoli were the better side throughout the match until the second half. And then just for me, it's just goal scoring. You're not going to win games if you can't score. But again, they're keeping the ball out of the net, so which is good. Defensively, they're not playing too bad. The midfield, I feel like the midfield could be a little bit better. But for me, they need to rely on Martinez. He needs to find his form again. He needs to start scoring. And even Jekyll, he has to pick up the pace. So for me, it's just the goal scoring for Inter. They're such a good team all around. They're the champions of last season. So I don't think, for me, it's anything too concerning, as long as they can start finding their feet again, start getting the ball in the back of the net, and picking up momentum, then they'll be fine. But for me, right now, I think it's just a little slump that they're in, a goal-scoring slump. They need someone to step up, and they need to find that key guy that can step up, such as Jekyll, Martinez, Perisic might need to step up too. Brozovic, he's been doing well. He might need to step up. So they just need a guy that can just start putting the ball in the back of the net. And for Milan, I just think it's, who knows with them. I don't think it's, it might be a characteristic issue they have, just something close to, I would say, with Napoli, just a mentality thing. Like anytime they can put pressure at the top, it seems like they really can't get over that hurdle. Prior to like this week, I'm going to go with Napoli's point now, they really haven't impressed me as well. When it's time to get into first place, put pressure on these top two teams, they really haven't done that. They've dropped points, you can say. And I feel like that's something that's happening to Milan. I feel like it might be a characteristic thing, maybe more on like a mentality thing. Maybe Pioli's not getting these guys set up for these big matches because they're not playing the worst, but also too defensively, like they're getting exposed by these teams. The goal against Udinese was just a big scramble in the box. But going back to the Salernitana match, it looked like Salernitana going forward, they had everything going for them, and Milan's defense couldn't really stop them on the day. So for me, I think it's just a mix of just the mentality and the defensive center back partnerships that are not working out. And maybe with Tomori coming back, it's a big lift for Milan, but it's going to be tough for them.
Yeah, well said, Dan. I think I have to agree with you when you're talking about Inter, about them just not being able to find the back of the net. These past games, they just haven't been able to score. They've had, I think I saw a stat somewhere where it was like they had like 50 shots and like zero goals, or like 50 chances with zero goals. And they're just struggling to find the back of the net. Obviously, it puts a smile on my face, you know, seeing Inter and Milan drop all these important points, and Juventus are finally clawing back. So it's good for the city. Yeah, it's good for Juventus fans. I'm sure, Dan, you're over the moon of what's happening with Inter and Milan.
Yeah, I am.
but in their case, as an Inter fan, it must be frustrating to see all these chances happen for your team just not being able to convert those chances. Inter's playing good. They're doing everything right. They just can't score. So it must be frustrating for them, and they're in that slump. And then with Milan, I think it's just a fatigue issue. We saw the same thing last season. Around this time last year, Milan started dropping off again. They just don't have the team to compete for the Scudetto. They don't have the depth necessary. And you're seeing these players just getting tired and falling off. And that's what's happening with Milan. I think the team is good. It's not a Scudetto winning team. They're going to get top four. They just can't compete to win the Scudetto, because now we're seeing that they're getting tired. And who knows, maybe they'll scrap a couple of wins here and there. But I think for the most part, the Milan season's done for the Scudetto.
Yeah, no, I've always maintained on this podcast and elsewhere that I don't see Milan as a team that will win the Scudetto this year. I do think that next year they'll be much better. I've heard rumors that they want a lot of these big players from Lille, Jonathan David, Renato Sanchez. I think his name is Van Botman from Lille as well. We'll see what happens on that front. But as of right now, I don't see Milan winning the Scudetto. Obviously, I'm not going to rule anything out, because Serie A is the Serie A this year. And you all know.
This Sunday, too, it's a big match for the Scudetto race.
Yeah, Milan-Napoli.
So
it's going to be huge. There's some big games coming up. And, as of right now, I still favor Inter for Scudetto, just because the game in hand and the strength of schedule. I think they probably the easiest remaining schedule from the top teams. But, like I said, anything can happen. And in terms of what I think is causing this little, I don't say drought, but, you know, little slump in their form, I'd say for Inter, I think this is a fatigue issue as well. An example is when Inter took on Roma in the Coppa Italia. I really expected them to play their bench because, you know, it was a tough match on the weekend. Then they had Roma. Then I believe they had the derby of Milano, and then they had Liverpool. So that's like four games in like a week, like against tough teams. So I thought they'd maybe rotate the squad a little bit more against Roma, and they didn't. And I think that's kind of part of the issue. They're playing the same lineup almost every game, and they just change up. I don't think they really changed their attackers. That's about it. Everyone else is kind of the same. And they look very tired to me. And then goal scoring, they're missing a lot of chances. Dzeko, which I've seen over the years, so hasn't come as a big shock. But I think it's just a mixture of fatigue and just missing chances that should be in the back of the net. And in terms of Milan, I just don't think they're deep enough, and it doesn't really come to surprise to me when I see Milan struggling. I still think they're a very good team. I think Pioli's done well with them. I think they have good players, but they're just missing a couple more pieces to make that next jump. I think if you look at Napoli, Inter, Juve, Milan, although Juve is behind them, I'd say Milan are probably the weaker team, starting 11-wise out of all of them. Obviously, Chiara coming out early in the year doesn't help the case for the defense, and Tomori being down for such a long period of time. And then Mike Maignan went down for that long period of time. It's not been, and even Zlatan. So it's tough for them. Injuries and just fatigue really, really been hurting Milan. But yeah, I think those are more or less the reasons why we're seeing this team drop off. But I do think they'll bounce back, and hopefully this race continues to be close until the last day, because that's what makes the Serie A so special this year and entertaining. So anything else you guys want to add before we move on?
I'm good to go.
I'm all good. Just no Juventus is coming for that, though.
I knew you'd throw something in. moving on. Juventus, like you said, not Dan. Empoli-Juventus, it was, before you get into it, I'm just going to say quickly, it was an entertaining game. I didn't think it would be as close as it was. I think Allegri is really hindering, what's the word I want to use? The ceiling for this Juventus team. I think they can do so much better with the players they have. I understand though, it will take time. I feel like they're getting bailed out by, you know, Vlahovic and these players like that to get these wins. But performance-wise, I wasn't impressed at all. I thought it was a pretty subpar performance. But they do have great players, and sometimes that's what happens. When they have good players, they bail you out of situations. And I think Allegri has a lot of work to do if he's going to stay for next season in the summer, just to get the team playing well, because I don't know, it's kind of like quote-unquote terrorist ball is not looking too good right now. But yeah, correct, the Juventus are going to win, and Vlahovic looked really good. So, Francesco, what do you think about it?
Yeah, obviously, starting off, my hands were in my head watching us play so poorly. I was nervous that this was a must-win game after seeing Inter and Milan drop points. And then, obviously, Napoli had Lazio to play, so that was a big game that I was hoping Napoli would drop points. It was something we had to capitalize at. As of last week, we failed to capitalize against Torino, which would have been huge when everyone else dropped points. So this was a game we really had to grab by the horns. And, you know, after seeing Moise Keane score that beautiful header goal, I was more confident because I think, okay, now the goals are going to start coming. We kind of broke the deadlock. And then we just got really sloppy with a lot of bad takes defensively. And I don't know what happened in that box with Empoli's goal, but it was just miscommunication. It was like house league soccer, just everyone trying to kick the ball out. And eventually, I think it was Zerkowski who scored it. Just saw an opening to kick the ball in the bottom corner of the net and score. And that was where it was like, oh fuck, here we go again, another drop points. But then, like Enzo said, Dusan Vlahovic, the man of the hour, saving us time and time again right before halftime. To put us back into the lead. In the second half, you would think, you know, Allegri would motivate the team to kind of wake up. But when we're up by one goal, Allegri likes to park the bus and kind of sit back and absorb the attack and just counterattack. And that's what we did the entire game until Vlahovic scored another beautiful goal. With that touch for the second goal was nicer than his goal itself. I don't know how he touched it so elegantly, but he did. And that kind of gave us some breathing room until around the 75th minute when the substitute La Mantilla, who just came on like 5 minutes prior, scored. And for the rest of the game, when we were sitting back just absorbing it, I thought Empoli was going to get an equalizer to make it 3-3. But luckily, we hung on by the strings and we left with the win. And like Enzo said, Allegri's really holding this team. We should be playing better football. Maybe Landucci needs to step up here, but hopefully in the future, you know, we start waking up, we start getting the groove going. I know with new players, it's not easy, and the chemistry needs to settle, and hopefully Zaccaria comes back healthy, because he's gone for 20 days, like half of the team. Ever since Ramsey left, seems like the entire team just died in J Medical, so hopefully we get our full team back for Champions League and for the rest of the season.
Yeah, no, well said, Francesco. Yeah, I agree. I think we both agree that Allegri has been holding back the team a little bit. I think defensively sets up the team really well, but just when they have possession, it just seems like they want to lose the ball just so they can hit on the counter. They don't really seem comfortable when they have the ball. And but yeah, no, they have a good team, and I think they have a bright future, Juventus. And we'll see where this young core can take them. Dan, anything you want to add before we move on?
Yeah, no, it's obviously, they got the result, which is all that matters at the end of the day. But once again, it seems like they're not playing good. Even against Villarreal, they got off to that
strong start.
They got off to that strong start, scoring 32 seconds in, I believe, with Vlahovic, again, saving Juventus. And then they just sat back. They
sat back.
Play good. Yeah. They couldn't, it seems like they couldn't complete a pass. There was no movement. They had no flow. They had no style. And Villarreal made them pay, and good credit to Empoli. They battled all the way to the end. Parisi came in, and he was crossing in the ball dangerously, causing a few concerns to the Juventus backline. But at the end of the day, Juve got a big 3-1 win. No thanks to anyone else but Dusan Vlahovic, you can say. So if Juve do want to, say, advance in Champions League, maybe make a last minute push for Scudetto. They need to play a lot better. I know the results, it's all that matters, but against these bigger teams, these more organized teams, these better teams, the way that they've been playing, those teams are going to make them pay.
Yeah, no, well said then. They definitely need to play better football to avoid, losing to some of the better teams in Europe. But moving on, now Sassuolo Fiorentina, and yeah, like I said, speaking of beautiful football, two teams that play very well. In my opinion, it was a very close game. I think you guys probably agree with that as well.
Yeah.
Both teams had chances. Dalgoski made some nice saves as well. But I think it was a team or a game that many people are looking forward to, just judging by the recent form and just the way they play. And the two managers, Dionisi and Italiano, two managers that people respect a lot, especially for what they've done this season. And I think it could be a fair result, Sassuolo, I feel like they had a little bit more, what's the word I want to use? Just better chances overall, just by a little bit, but it was very close. It could have gone either way. That one of Ventura red card is pretty stupid. He got the yellow, and then I don't know what he said to the ref, but he said something to get a second yellow, which is pretty stupid. And, especially at that point in the game, why are you doing that? But it happens. It was a great game. When the game started off, it was a nice goal from Traore. He split two defenders and placed into the back of the net. I think one of the better goals we've seen this year, in my opinion, which is very quick, intelligent, precise. I really like how he scored that goal and how he's been playing overall lately. He's been having a really good year. And much like other players from Sassuolo, Scamacca, Spadori, Lopez, Traore, I can go on forever here. A lot of the players are having a career year. Berardi, I almost forgot Berardi, one of the best players in Serie A this year. They've all been playing well, so yeah, credit to him, great goal. And then later in the match, Saponara played an incredible ball to Cabral, and then he put it in. Nice effort from him to put pressure on the net and really get to that ball and put it away. And heartbreak at the end. Gregoire de Frel, former Roma player. We spent $23 million for him. I don't know why. I think this was like his second goal in a long time. I saw some stat on Twitter. But, Berardi found him for an incredible ball and a diving header into the back of the net from de Frel to get the win for Sassuolo. Great match. I think Fiorentina, the way they play, they don't mind not having possession. They like to sit back a little bit more and play out to the wings and counter. And get the ball into the box quick. While Sassuolo, they enjoy having possession, moving it around. They're very creative. They like making runs in behind, overlapping, a lot of movement when they play, which is, it's incredibly tiring. I don't think it would be sustainable if they were a club that played in Europe in midweek as well. But if you're going to play once a week, I think it's a great way to play against these teams that are probably going to be tired from playing in Europe. And you really take advantage of some of the bigger teams when they're exhausted. So, I think Sassuolo play really beautiful style of football, and Fiorentina, although it's not as creative and beautiful, it works and it gets the job done. But yeah, overall, great match, and I really enjoyed both teams. What did you guys think about it?
Yeah, no, it was very entertaining. I tweeted out after the game that, like we said this last week too, Sassuolo probably have all the teams, they probably play the best football, and Fiorentina's not too far behind. I know it's sad, like it's not sad, but it's shocking to say, because you see Atalanta when they're clicking, they play great football too. But for me, Sassuolo, if they can keep their core, maybe get some defensive reinforcements in the summer, I can see these guys pressuring for a top five, top six finish into Europe in the Conference League. Even I think they just have great talent all around. As long as they can just improve defensively, I feel like they can compete with anyone. And it was a great match to watch. Both teams really put their all. It was, and especially the last minute winner by De Frel, like it was incredible to see what it meant to the fans. And Sassuolo's on a little run now. Like they just beat Inter 2-0, and they got a big win against Fiorentina. So they're a team that if you play them next, you got to look out for them, because they're no easy team. And Fiorentina is a tough team to beat too, and give them credit. They played a very competitive game. Both teams went for it all, and you got to look out for these teams, because they can easily bite you when you're not expecting it.
Yeah, well said, Dan. Like Angel said too, like this game, before the game, obviously it was one of the marquee games of the week. Very, very close between Sassuolo and Fiorentina. Two of the top teams in Serie A that provide an entertaining match no matter where the game's played, when the game's played. And the game didn't fail to disappoint. Obviously, Troy opening up the score in the first 20 minutes. Beautiful goal, like Enzo said. And then, for the whole game, it was just back and forth action with Sassuolo just edging, with majority of the chances over Fiorentina, but a very close game. And then obviously, tensions rose with, Buenaventura getting the yellow. And then, like Enzo said, I don't know what happened there, but it ended up getting a red. And then, it didn't seem to matter. I feel like that, motivated Fiorentina more. Because then they got the goal 10 minutes after, and you would think, okay, 88th minute, the game's going to end as a tie. It was a great game. And then De Frel just comes out of nowhere in the 94th minute to steal the win versus Sassuolo and get all 3 points for them. So very entertaining game, one of the best of the weekend for me personally. And, yeah, I think Sassuolo and Fiorentina both have a bright future in these past couple of seasons, especially Fiorentina with Ikone and Piontek. I really like seeing those two link up play this weekend.
Yeah, now we all agree that these two teams have been very impressive, possibly overachieving, and hopefully they can continue this going forward. And I really hope Sassuolo don't end up selling, you know, all of their young assets they have right now. I'm sure maybe Scamacca, Raspadori, they might depart. Even Berardi, but I really hope they don't sell all of them, because then it'll be pretty sad, to be honest, because all these smaller teams don't really have the means to hang with the bigger teams if they keep selling these players. So it's likely that they will go. You know, it's going to be tough for Sassuolo to hang on to them, but hopefully they can hang on to most of them and continue playing their beautiful football. But yeah, another player that's talented, doing well, Giovanni Simeone, hat-trick against Venezia.
Yeah.
This guy loves to score in bunches. He'll go 5-6 games without a goal, and then he'll score 3 out of nowhere. We've all known how dangerous he could be. I'm sure when, you know, a bigger team, for those of you who support Milan or Juve or Roma, Napoli or whoever, if you're watching a game and you're playing Simeone, no matter if he was on Fiorentina or wherever he was, you see him, you're like, ooh, this guy might score, you gotta watch out, and he usually will against his bigger teams. But this time against Venezia, he really dominated, scored 3 very striker-esque goals, and Giovanni Simeone-esque goals. He loves scoring just these goals in bunches. Like, it's pretty funny and ridiculous, to be honest. You don't see many strikers who do this, that just go quiet for such a long time and then come out of nowhere again and then bang, bang, bang right away. But, yeah, credit to him. And a quick question for you guys. Where would you rank him among other strikers? You don't see me number like 5th or whatever, but who would you put ahead of him? Me personally, obviously, like Vlahovic, you have to put ahead of Giovanni Simeone, yeah. Immobile, Tammy Abraham, Osimhen. But to be honest, it could be a hot take. I think Lautaro and Simeone are very similar players, in my opinion, at least. I think two very short strikers compared to other ones. They're powerhouses. They don't really create much in terms of getting assists and like building up the play, but they seem to be in the right place at the right time, and just very strong for their size. So I would favor Lautaro, but to be honest, not that far off. Well, there's Dzeko on his day, who's obviously better than Simeone when Dzeko's on his day. Scamacca, maybe even Zapata when he's not injured. Other than that, I'd say Simeone is a top 10 striker in the Serie A.
Yeah.
You guys have him?
Definitely agree. I have him top 10. And I just think if he was, you know what, this could be a hot take too. I do believe if he was more consistent, if he would score like 7 bunches, but like score every game, maybe 2 goals a game, whatever. I know it's hard to do, but if he was more consistent with his play, I would see him as a top 5. He's always been talented. The only problem with him is just consistency. He's, again, like, he'll go one game, he'll score 3 goals, but then he won't score for another 6 or 7 games. So if he can stay consistent, if he was consistent, I would easily have him even top 7, top 5. This guy is talented, but I think top 10 is respectable for him. And he can easily get into the top six team. I think as even if he's a rotational player or just as a starter, I think in the top six, depending on moves that happen, I think he can fit in well.
Yeah, well said. And this is where the hot take's gonna come in. You wanted a hot take? I'll give you a hot take. I would prefer Simeone over Lautaro any day. I think both strikers are pretty inconsistent from my eyes. Lautaro's seen as more consistent, but if you look at this season, Simeone has more goals and more assists than Lautaro does. And Lautaro has better service around him, in terms of team quality and everything. Where Simeone he has great service at Verona, not as good as, what Lautaro has at Inter. So I would say Simeone is better than Lautaro, easily.
Yeah, I think similar to what I said, I think that could be a conversation. I would just prefer Lautaro just a little bit more just because he has more pace on him and can get him behind better. But I don't think it's a hot take at all. I think they're very similar in the way they play. And it's funny because they're both from Argentina. But yeah, they're built the same. Most of their goals look pretty similar to each other. They get in the right spaces at the right time. And yeah, I wouldn't say it's a far off or a hot take. I know some of their fans will be really pissed off hearing that, but I think if you go based off this year alone, I don't see how that could be up for debate. I think they are on a similar level. And yeah, although I would prefer Lautaro a little bit more because of his pace, I feel like it's better getting him behind. I don't think Simeone is far off him at all. So yeah, Simeone's been having a great year.
Yeah,
how many goals does someone know? 15?
15 goals with, again, this is an incredible stat too, no penalties. And he's got
that's incredible
as well. So, and I believe it was 25 games. He's got 18 goal contributions in 25 games for Hellas Verona. Not talking about Milan, Napoli, Juve, Roma, Verona. So that goes a long way too.
Wow! And I just saw now he's had 23 shots on target this year, and 15 have been a goal. So that's only 8 of his shots have been on target this year didn't end up in a goal, which is pretty insane.
Crazy.
So, that's an incredible stat right there. So, yeah, Simeone has been great. And, you know, if he can keep it up, I'm sure he'll make a big move. He's always been, you know, kind of hovering around these teams like Cagliari and Fiorentina and Verona.
I would easily welcome him as a 1-2 with Osimhen, easily.
Yeah, that could be a really good pairing. Yeah, I think he'd be good in a 2-striker formation as well. But yeah, credit to Simeone, and hopefully he can keep it up. And moving on now, Spezia Roma, the game that ended late, similar to Sassuolo Fiorentina and then Lazio Napoli, which we'll get into later. It was an entertaining match, I guess you can say, if you want to look at chances created. And I see a lot of people hate on Mourinho for, oh, we barely beat Spezia, they're down to 10 minutes at halftime. It's just so hard to hate on Mourinho when you're looking at the statistics. Roma are second in the Serie A in expected goals this year. We create so many chances, we just can't score. I don't know how you can play a manager for that. There's only so much you can do. There's one play where, I'll just get into it now. At second half, Saniolo comes in. That was a change I think most Roma fans wanted. He wasn't ready to start because he's coming back from a, sorry about that, a little knock, but he's back now and he came in and straight away he made a big impact. He almost scored pretty quickly, and then he had a shot from the right side of the box to the left that was saved by Provedel, who, by the way, this guy played like what was it? Sorrentino, that's his name. Played like Sorrentino. but yeah, this guy was saving everything. I was talking about Consigli last week, and this week Provedel, if any of you play FIFA, I don't know if he needs to win to get in the team of the week, but this guy will definitely make it in it just to go based off performance. He was incredible. And yeah, he made a nice save on Zaniolo, one of his many saves that were nice in the game. And Zaniolo went on another solo run, got by 3 or 4 defenders, played better 2 on a platter. I already started celebrating, I thought it would be a goal, and yeah, it was not a goal. He completely skied it, and then later in the match, there's a whole scuffle in the box. And I like what Mourinho did. For those of you who don't know, basically, at the end of the match, Mourinho stopped involved it, and I'm pretty sure there's a rule in Calcio that when you sub in a player in extra time, the ref has to add on 30 seconds to the clock, which I don't know if that's true, but I think it is. They usually seem to add more time when you make a sub. So Mourinho subbed in Volbit to get some more time on the clock, and it worked because Roma got a corner, I believe. Pellegrini took it, and then Zaniolo went ahead, or bar down and out. Everyone's fighting for the ball. No one knows what's happening. It goes out of bounds. I'm like, okay, game's done, whatever. And then the camera pans to Zaniolo. His head is all busted. He's a big gash on his forehead. Seems like a black eye is beginning to form. And in my head, I'm like, okay. I didn't see what happened because I don't think anyone did the first time it happened because everyone's in the box. They all scramble. But if Zaniolo was bleeding, I'm sure someone hit him. Like, he's not just going to start bleeding out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So referee goes to check the VAR. I still don't know what happened in the box. They finally show a replay, and Zaniolo clearly gets kicked in the head pretty bad when he went for the header. That was nasty. And, yeah, Roma get the penalty, which I don't know how Thiago Motta was saying it's not a penalty. He got kicked in the head. Like, I don't know how much more clear a penalty has to be, especially for Zaniolo, who this year seems to be getting no calls at all. But, yeah, Roma get the penalty. Tammy Abraham steps up, puts it away beautifully, and Roma get the first win in over a month. Deserved. We could have won this game on multiple occasions, but credit to Spezia. They defended well. Defended as a team. They blocked a lot of shots, and Provedel was incredible. So, yeah, Thiago Motta did a great job preparing for this match, but I do think Roma deserved to win this game, completely being unbiased. We dominated from pillar to post. Spezia didn't pose much of a threat at all going forward. Defensively, they played really well. But, yeah, happy to see the win. And shout out to Zaleski, 20-year-old youth product. He performed extremely well. He played as a wing back and then moved to a full back when Zaniolo came in. The formation changed from a three back to a four back. And Zaleski did very well to hold his own and play a position he's never played in his career, not even for the Primavera team. So, yeah, credit to him, and I'm sure he'll see more minutes going forward after that performance. Big win, and hopefully Roma can continue it. What do you guys think? Should I move on, or any thoughts you want to add?
You covered it well, but it was
yeah, I think you covered it.
Good to see Roma for you ends at least getting back on the winning column. Even if it was like stressful, I know how you felt this weekend with stress coming down to the last minute, the last kick of the match, you can say. So it was good to see Roma getting back in the win, especially after like the last few results, and just the way you guys have been playing. I thought you guys were the way better side. On this day, give again, like you said, Spezia a lot of credit. They did defend well. Provedel, guy was playing like Sorrentino, Buffon, Dino Zoff, all these.
Consigli against Inter. I thought it was going to be another one of those.
Was it Consigli? Yeah, it was Consigli. Even Pegolo, the backup for solo goal against you guys. Guy was.
Don't remind me of that guy, Dan. Don't remind me of him.
It's just funny, too. Like, you see all these, like, smaller goalkeepers say play like the match of their life against these top clubs, and it's incredible to see. But when you're not a part of it, when you're the team that they're playing, it's so frustrating. Yeah, but it was good to see Roma get back in the win column, and at least we can all of us on the podcast today can say our team won this weekend.
Yeah, it's been a while since we could say that, mostly because of me. My team hasn't won over a month, but you know, even the Sirigu against Inter on Friday, another good goalkeeping performance. So, yeah, it's been happening quite often now against the bigger teams. So, hopefully they stop and, stop bullying us, because it's already hard to win a game. It doesn't help when you have Prime Buffon in that every game. So, yeah, big win for us. I'm happy. I finally get to be happy on the podcast for once. And, but like you mentioned, Dan, another late winner, Lazio-Napoli, the game of the weekend everyone's looking forward to. Big Serie A Scudetto implications going into it. We knew what it would mean if Napoli could get the win. And then just go off. What do you guys say about the game?
Yeah. I would start off where, if I can forget about the first half, I would. But Lazio, they dominated us in the first half. Even the first 25 minutes, I would like to say, first 25 to 30 minutes, we were out of sore. We couldn't complete a pass. We couldn't do anything. And you know it was bad when Demme was our best player at that time, and Koulibaly, Romani, Di Lorenzo, Rui, everyone was just slumping. Lazio had a few chances that they could have easily made it 2-0 in the first half. But I'm going to give a lot of credit to Spalletti in the second half. I don't know what he said in the change room. I don't know what he did. I don't know if he started slapping players around. But Insigne was incredible in the second half. Even Fabian Ruiz, I like the way he played. Koulibaly, everyone just stepped up, and you could tell it was a total team effort. And I was just happy with the way Insigne played, because it's been a while since he scored an open play goal, but he got the goal, assist from Fabian. Great work by Almas to win the ball back. Set up Fabian, who picked out Insigne, and Insigne placed it home beautifully in the bottom corner to open the scoring for us. We were in total control throughout the whole second half. We could have easily made it 2-0, but Insigne was offside, which at the end of the day, it's the right call. There's a few shouts for penalties, but again, VAR is not going to look at everything unless it was Lazio calling the plays that time, this game. But throughout the match, we were very good. I liked the way that Fabian played. I was very shocked that Belletti brought in Elmas and Unas instead of, before Mertens, but at the end of the day, both subs paid off. Then the free kick happened, and we all know what happened after, with Pedro scoring one of the goals of the season. What a great volley it was. Ospina got pieced through it, and then when that goal went in, I thought to myself, I go, there goes our chance of Scudetto, and it's another game that I'm going to be disappointed that we couldn't take advantage of. We dropped the points, in my opinion, of the game would have ended. And then, all of a sudden, Almas has the ball, picks out Insigne, who lays it off beautifully for Fabian Ruiz. And the curve that this guy had on the shot was incredible. And when this goal went in, I jumped so high, like I almost banged my head on the roof, and I thought I was gonna have to do a concussion test. At the end, I was celebrating. I was going crazy. And I wish we watched this game together at the Napoli Club, because just to see the emotions of all the guys there. But just this goal was, it kind of reminded me of the Koulibaly goal against Juve. Just the way it was, we were tied last minute, like one of the last minutes in the game. And right there, it placed it home beautifully, Fabian. So credit to him for placing that, for playing well, for finishing off well. He was incredible for me this match, and I really liked the way that Almas and Insigne played as well. And just happy that we finally got a win when the chips were down. It's going to reflect this Sunday. It's a huge match against Milan. We need to take this momentum. We need to carry our pride and just mentality of winning and focusing on becoming champions, and just apply it to Sunday. And hopefully we can pick up the win against Milan, because it's going to be a tough game. But I'm just happy with the way that we respond in the second half, the way that Spalletti got the team going again. And it was kind of like, kind of remind me of early in the season where we would find ways to win, even if we were playing bad, and just the mentality to just fight to the end, play until the final whistle. And I'm just happy that Napoli got the win, and Sunday's match is 20 times bigger now, and it's going to reflect on the Scudetto.
Yeah, very well said, Dan. I think that game, for everyone watching or for everyone listening, it was one of the games that are going to define the Scudetto for sure. And I was watching the first half, and I don't know how Lazio, like Dan said, Lazio were dominant of Napoli in the first half. I don't know how they couldn't convert their chances and put one in the back of the net. But I had faith in Sadibal, and unfortunately he let me down. Unfortunately, in the second half, I was on my way to work, so I had to listen to the game on the radio, and it's one of the most stressful things to do when you're just hearing the commentator. You can't see what's going on. And when I heard that Pedro scored, I was celebrating like a little Laziale, hoping, so, oh, this has to be the game, this has to be over, 88th minute. I don't see Napoli like coming back at all. And then all of a sudden, I'm walking into the office at work, and all I hear is that Fabian Ruiz scored. And I was just disappointed. But it, like, obviously for Napoli, it's a massive win, huge 3 points, and they're top of this table for now. But like I said, they're gonna drop soon. So I'm not that worried, but it was a huge game for Napoli, and like Dan just said, they have another huge game, so hopefully a tie is in that box for that game. But for now, Napoli move on with a big win after coming off of a big loss to Barca. and they're looking to move on forward.
Yeah, no, the race is still tight and very entertaining, so hopefully it continues. But before we end the podcast, I'm going to ask one question. Who do you guys have winning the Coppa Italia? Because obviously we have Milan Inter today, and then tomorrow Fiorentina Juventus. So I'll start with Dan. Who do you have winning the Coppa?
Okay, for me, I think it might be Inter. But honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Juve ended up winning. But I think it's Inter for me.
Well, we already know the answer for the next man, but... Richard, just go ahead. Who do you think is going to win?
Just if you're in Tuna.
It's going to be Juventus, obviously. Even with the 9 injuries that we have, by the time we have to face Inter or Milan, whichever team wins this two-legged affair, we're going to have majority of our team back, hopefully. So Inter have no chance. You know, they got us in the Supercoppa when Alessandro was too busy on his farm. Gifting them a win, and that's not going to happen in the Coppa Italia final. And if we get Milan, it's even easier, in my opinion. So, either way, I'm very confident Juventus are going to win.
Hey, you guys have to worry about Fiorentina. I'm telling you, they're not going to go down.
It's gonna be a tough game, but Fiorentina, I'm confident Fiorentina that's too late.
Coppa Italia. Fiorentina and Coppa Italia they're a different team. Like, you see them against Napoli, you see them against Atalanta. They're a tough team. They're going to be hard to beat.
If it was the one-legged affair, I'd be more scared. But I have that confidence that Juventus could get it done over two legs.
Don't be surprised if Fiorentina starts. If the defender starts fouling Vlahovic. Like,
oh, easily. Oh, every game I've watched, Vlahovic has been getting fouled. Even against Empoli, you know, he got fouled in the last minutes and he was celebrating like he scored a goal. It just shows grinta and passion. Something I haven't seen from any Juventus player since Mandzukic. So I'm expecting Fiorentina to pull Vlahovic down, tug on his jersey, push him from behind. Hopefully the ref calls him, but I'm not expecting anything from the referees when Vlahovic is getting fouled.
Well, for me, I actually agree with Jack here. I think Juventus is going to win the Coppa Italia. I feel like they have the strongest team now, these signings they have. Like you said, I do think the better players will be back for the final. Obviously, I believe in May, so lots of time before they'll need to be back for the final. Fiorentina is a very tough team, but I think over two legs, I would favor Juventus. I think it'll be tough for Fiorentina to get past Juventus, although they did themselves proud to make it to the semifinals. I wouldn't rule out an upset. I think Fiorentina can definitely do it, but I would favor Juventus in this Coppa Italia. They've had the easiest path to the final, and they still do. And, yeah, I think Fiorentina can make it tough, maybe even extra time in the second leg, who knows. But Juventus with the addition of Vlahovic, and it's going to be like new signings when all the injured players come back. Even McKennie might be back by then. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good one. In about 2 hours, it's Inter Milan, so if you guys are somehow finding time to listen to this before the game, enjoy. And if it's after the game, then hopefully it was a good game. I'm sure it was. The derby never disappoints. And tomorrow should be another great game between Juventus and Fiorentina. So thank you for listening to the podcast. If you want to check us out on social media, it's @6@Calcio on both Instagram and Twitter. We'll be back next week. Ciao.